If we have aspirations to be in the Olympics, let's make sure that we're set up to be successful to get into the Olympics at some point. That's why the governance is important and getting this whole issue is important, because if we don't get the groundwork in, it's a moot point anyway. We'll never get in.
All right, Karen, welcome to Behind the Paddle. Appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Rob. It's lovely to see you again.
You too. I'm excited to see you in a little bit in Telford again. Third year running, I believe. So
it is. That's right. And I think we'll last year at Telford, but yeah, the English Open will be there.
That's what you guys said last year too.
Yes.
And it's been cool to see, like, year after year, the growth's been... Like, when I think about international pickleball, that's like, it is the English Open, because everybody's so excited. There's so many people. It's such a big event, and a big facility too in Telford. And it's just, to me, there's always just so much joy around the event versus, you know, a lot of it in the US has just become, I want to say, like, repetitive, or kind of like it's lost a little bit of the joy. And like, whenever I go to England, I feel that joy again, the excitement of people. And it's just so fun to go to every year. So we'll get into more of kind of
as well, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, you know,
so, and yeah. I want to get into how you've kind of built that from the ground up. But before we get into the English Open, what led you to pickleball in the first place?
So I probably would never have found it if it hadn't been the fact that some neighbors of mine were in tracksuit bottoms. They are sort of like, you know, 10, 15 years older than myself, and I was 54 at the time. So they're looking sporty, and I said, where are you going looking all sporty? And they were going to the village hall, which is opposite where I live, and they were playing pickleball. And you know how that goes, pickle what?
Yeah.
They encouraged me to go along and have a watch. I had a little watch, and then they put the paddle in my hand, and then I found my inner child. And still to this day, every day that I pick up a paddle, I connect with my inner child. There's something so amazing about this sport. It really is. And, you know, that's what, led me to pickleball, and the rest is history, as they say.
And I think it's kind of cool, because like, I connect with that, because you always like it. It doesn't feel like, you know, for tennis, for example, you have to go out and you really have to understand technique. And it's a very technical sport to get decent at. And for me, pickleball has always felt like you said, like when I think about inner child, I think about play. And it's like, outside of just the sport aspect or even knowing the rules, like having a paddle, two people, a ball, a net, and just going out and even not knowing what anything is, just hitting the ball over the net is like a sense of play where you can just get wrapped up in the moment and kind of lose all sense of time, which is like what it was like to be a kid, which you're out playing and you don't care what time it is.
All
just have to be home by dinner.
Disappear, right? They're just concentrating on hitting that ball. And, you know, it's wonderful. And I completely agree with you, the accessibility of it. And that's one of the passions that I have. Is just getting people off the couch. All I did at that time was walk my dog every day, twice a day. But, you know, all I was doing is walking and doing a little bit of some Zumba or aerobics. I'd never been a racket sport person. I would never really say I was sporty. But this showed me, A, I could connect with my inner child, but B, there was a little community there. They stopped for tea and cake half time. I love cake. So, you know, I thought, well, I'm going back there next Wednesday, you know? So what really drives me now is getting people off the couch like myself, and just getting them moving, connecting with other people, you know, getting a new friendship loop. You know, I've been very blessed actually by pickleball, because I met my now husband a few months after I started playing pickleball, introduced him to it once we started going steady. And then because we were a new relationship, he had his friends, I had mine. We actually created friendships together.
Very cool.
We've now got a whole, you know, group of friends that we love dearly. And, you know, we both know as equally. Mm-hmm. So no sides to be picked or anything like that.
Right. So,
yeah, no, it's brilliant. Brilliant.
That is really cool. So that's the getting into it. But what led you to saying, okay, I want to like really build this up from a governance standpoint with Pickleball England? Because correct me if I'm wrong, you are co-founding director of Pickleball England?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm the chair as well.
Got it. So yeah, what led to like, oh, this is kind of a fun game, tea cakes, you know, I met my husband, so that's cool. But what led to, okay, I have to get this sport, like, you know, I have to legitimize it?
I actually wasn't interested in that, to be honest. Chris and I started a drop-in club in Eastbourne and was building that up. And we were having a lot of fun. We started going to a few tournaments. You know, was probably vocal about what I liked, what I didn't like, you know, that sort of thing. People started listening to me. And we were at a tournament, I think it was the Madrid tournament, actually, when a few players were hanging out together. And we were talking about the need for a national governing body. And I was saying, well, the problem is, who is going to start it up? You know, it's a volunteer role, you know, blah, blah. Anyway, by the end of the conversation, people were all looking at me, I think because I'd been talking and saying, well, you could. And yeah. I honestly was not interested at that point. However, I did go along to a meeting where I met Frank Errico, who's the other co-founder of Pickleball England. And he had been talking to a number of people for some time, and they were having similar conversations. And Frank is actually a bit of a governance guru. He's been in many sporting federations before. And so he knew what he was talking about from a governance perspective, which I didn't really know anything about at that time.
And sorry to interrupt. And at that time, were you working full time? Because I know you had a pretty long, you had a long run with Amex, right?
Yeah, I did. No, I had retired. I retired in 2014, and my goal was to go and see the world. And in fact, I was between trips when I met my neighbors, and they introduced me to pickleball. So there was a little, you know, gap while I was doing some traveling, etc. Sure. So I wasn't working, and they knew that, and they knew my history with American Express. I met Frank. I recognized that he was both good at governance, but he also is a bit of a technical guru. He writes software and things like that. Mm. I had marketing and product development experience and was very good with technology. And so we had a bit of a meeting of minds and thought, well, actually, we can recruit a few other people. Maybe we could do this. And so that's what happened. He and I set up Pickleball England. We launched in January of 2019. Because two groups had already encouraged us to do something, we had some support from the get-go. And actually, when you're starting something like this, you've got to have the player support. Otherwise, it's never going to go anywhere. And there had been some previous people who had tried to do it but didn't get that support. So we were blessed with the support. And within a few months of starting, we had over 1,000 members. We had an AGM in the August and recruited some directors to join us, regional directors. And we haven't really looked back since, actually. It's been, you know, really quite successful. And given that we are, you know, really still just a volunteer group, we are at that point where we have to professionalize now. We've got a contractor working for us at the moment. We hope to make him an employee, but we've got to get, an income coming in, an income stream coming in, you know, before we can really commit to getting staff in place. And actually, just as an aside, I want to tip my hat to Pickleball in Australia, they have got 9 people working for them now. And I really do believe that that's how they've unlocked the growth for Australia. They're doing a terrific job.
Yeah.
Brendan Lee, who's the head executive there, he's doing a fabulous job, and he's got a great team underneath him. If we can do that in England, I think that, you know, we'll be laughing.
Yeah. And in respect to Australia, because I know there's been, with the tennis side of things, you know, already being established in these countries, Australia, England as well, with the LTA, what's been, and maybe you can't speak to Australia, but what's been that kind of relationship with the tennis organizations, governing bodies, and pickleball as pickleball tries to come in?
So for many years, tennis weren't interested in pickleball. Certainly when Pickleball England started, one of the organizations that was disbanding had been to the LTA and suggested that they take on pickleball. And I gather it was rejected. So that was back in 2019. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, you have the pandemic and the growth of pickleball in the USA.
Yeah.
And that's made tennis organizations really sit up and have a think, right? And that, I think it was in 2023 that the LTA decided that they wanted to get involved in pickleball. Now,
unilaterally, outside of even discussing it with you guys, or what was that process?
Yes, it was a bit unilateral. They did actually reach out to us, and we had a meeting with them. But it was obvious that they wanted to do this, and there was really no choice. And we decided to resist that. Now, I don't really want to go into too much detail, because sure, we are trying to have, now that we've got the national governing body status with Sport England, we are trying to build a collaborative, adult relationship with the LTA. So yep, I don't really want to go into the ups and downs of it.
Sure.
I do feel that, the big resources that tennis has is attractive to pickleball organizations initially. But what they don't realize is it's a lot of it is all about control. And yet we need to keep sovereignty of our sport, you know, especially yeah, if we want to be in the Olympics. You know, if you let tennis take over pickleball, it's then tennis that decides whether or not we go into the Olympics, yeah, not the Olympic the IOC.
Right.
And so, you know, the more countries that go over to tennis, the more chance there is that we will lose that battle with tennis. And then it's their choice. And I don't think they want tennis not to be in the Olympics. And they can only have one sport in yeah, any given Olympics. So, you know.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So the LTA, if the LTA ran pickleball and tennis as an organization, they could only have one of those sports be an Olympic
sport. I'm talking
sport.
About at the world level.
Yeah, got it.
If tennis had pickleball,
sure,
only one sport could be
yes,
in the Olympics.
Got it.
At least that's my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. And with Australia, do you know, or with any country, I guess, really, has any country really allowed, from the pickleball side, allowed tennis, the tennis governing body, to kind of take the reins?
Yes, there are a number of examples, and actually Europe have got a number of examples. And I think that there currently looks like there's some positive examples, but I've also heard of some negative examples as well.
Sure.
I know that the relationship with the Italian Tennis Federation, they've got a separate pickleball arm, and it seems to be working really well. So, you know, I hope that continues to flourish. And interestingly enough, the Italian Tennis Federation have been putting resources to understand more about pickleball. So Julia, who is one of their legal advisors, I believe, she's on the European Pickleball Federation board, for instance. So, and by all accounts, and I think she's lovely, you know, she's working really, really well with everyone, and gets that pickleball needs to be kept independent.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a possibility where pickleball could work with tennis as long as tennis is willing to kind of let pickleball have their sovereignty, even within the organization, to.
And that there'd be an international federation for pickleball at the global level,
yeah.
That those those pickleball parts of the tennis federation are linked to, you know.
Got it. Okay. So we've got, just to kind of give the audience kind of an overview of what the, you know, hierarchical structure is. So we've got Pickleball England, and then you mentioned the European Federation. So what, and then we have the global governing bodies that are kind of vying for that status, I suppose. How do they all kind of tie together? So how does Pickleball England tie into the European Federation, and how does that all tie into the global side?
So Pickleball England is a member of the European Pickleball Federation, and it's also a member of the World Pickleball Federation, now the Unified World Pickleball Federation. And that is a normal, you know, national to continental to international structure, right? In fact, because England is part of the United Kingdom, at some point there needs to be a UK or GB pickleball that we would be a member of first, and then into the European Federation. Fun fact, Frank Errico, the co-founder of Pickleball England, he is the president of the European Pickleball Federation. And the European Pickleball Federation was actually created because of this international governing body issue that we had. You know, at some stage we have three bodies, now going down to two again. What the European federations or associations determined was that it's only by banding together with strength that we could be seen as legitimate to stand toe-to-toe with a big country like the USA or Canada, that are bigger and have been established a lot longer. And so they felt strength in force together, a partnership. And so Frank was instrumental in starting the European Pickleball Federation. And at some stage, it looked like it might be successful because all the European countries became members, and they became close to the other continental federations. And at some point, there was a five continental federation agreement that they wanted the three organizations to unify, and discussions were supposed to take place. But then, unfortunately, the now GPF piece didn't follow through with that. IPF and WPF tried to carry on with that discussion. Initially, it aborted, but they managed to get back together again. And now we've agreed the unification. And last Saturday, actually two Saturdays ago, 14th of June, both IPF members and WPF members voted unanimously to the unification of both organizations. So initially we're going to be called the Unified World Pickleball Federation, pending a new board being voted in. And then that new board will determine, and the countries will vote, whether or not that's the name it has going forward, or if it's some other name or whatever.
Sure. So, okay. So these are recent developments with WPF and you said IPF?
Yeah.
And GPF, Global Pickleball Federation, when did they kind of exit this conversation and decide to do everything or try to be their own sole governing body?
I think it was late 2023. And they created first a America's Pickleball Federation to get the countries to be an America's federation, and then GPF was formed with the America's Federation, Canada and Australia. And then they started getting membership together. now, I want to just say that, you know, I respect the hell out of USAP for all that they've done for pickleball, you know, the officiating stuff they've got, the rules, the equipment testing standards that they've created. You know, I'm not denigrating any of that. However, I do not believe that one country, just because it was invented in that country, the game, should be controlling pickleball. And the GPF piece, in my mind, is an attempt for the USAP to continue to control pickleball and continue to have control over the paddle testing and the rules. And that to me is not, you know, right. Now, if the GPF bylaws were fully democratic and met the IOC standards today, we would not be having this conversation, because I would recommend, because it's democratic, that Pickleball England would be a member of GPF, because I only want there to be one Pickleball, International Pickleball Federation. Yeah. But they're not democratic. The bylaws, they've got three phases for the bylaws, and by phase three, they'll become democratic. But there is no timeline for phase three. So how can I recommend that Pickleball England is a member of an organization with no specific timeline for phase three? Yeah. And so that's the only reason why I have been working on this unification for IPF and WPF. And I would really, we've now got, you know, fully IOC democratic bylaws. I would really like to see GPF join with the unified WPF now. And I'm really hopeful that this conference that's taking place in Miami, where I know that there's members of IPF, WPF representing unified WPF and GPF there, I really hope that they can have a meeting of minds there and that they can agree something, because, you know, it should all be for pickleball. Pickleball deserves better.
Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No, what is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know, we've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah, and it's like, you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to try to organize groups, because group texts are just not fun. So basically, the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right into.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store, or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online.
Did GPF, do they give a reason on why there's no timeline on the bylaws? If that's kind of like the, you know, the deal breaker, which it seems like there's just no timeline on it becoming a democratic organization. If they were to come to you tomorrow and say, okay, this is the timeline, within 2 years, we'll move to phase three. Would that change everything?
Well, at the moment, the way the bylaws are, it's the board of directors that have got control. And at the moment, there's at least Americans and Canadians on the board of directors.
For GPF. So it's basically North American.
Well, there are continental federation representatives plus the US and Canadian representatives, and then there's some at large directors. So I can't remember exactly how many. There might be 15 positions in total, but at least six of them are North America. So it doesn't feel like, if the directors can control what happens in those bylaws, they're the ones that can change it. The membership can't.
Yeah.
I don't think that I could recommend anyone join that right now, because you could join the unified WPF could disappear, And then when it disappears, they could change the bylaws again to say that, you know, it's going to be under the control of something else, right? Sure. So we should only join them if they change and it's fully democratic. I would actually prefer for them to join the unified WPF now because it's already fully democratic.
Yeah. And what's been kind of the stalemate between the organizations? Control? Is it that
I think it's control. I think it's control. I actually think it's USAP. And as I say, I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but you know, there's money that comes into the USA Pickleball through the paddle equipment testing process. I'm sure there's other revenues as well that they've got control of as well. That's what they don't want to give up, because technically the equipment standards and all the rest of it, that should be an international federation's rule setting.
So the worry is on their end, potentially, like we might just be guessing here, but
I think
we can safely assume that if they were to join WPF, they would lose kind of control of the paddle testing, of the international rules, regulations. I mean, eventually we'll have to go into drug testing, stuff like on the pro level, which might be a completely different story, or, you know, organization altogether. But your thought is that they, if so, USA Pickleball and GPF are like, what is the connection there? Is it same people involved in each organization, or like what's the tie that makes USA
people who are on USA Pickleball and GPF? Justin Maloof, for instance, that'd be a name you know. He's on there. And actually, you know, you might not know this, but IFP, which was started by USA Pickleball, or at least the pre name of that, with Spain and with Canada, I think it was. That was in existence since about 2014, I think. And then it was USA Pickleball and Canada that asked the member countries of the IFP to sign a letter to change the leadership of IFP. They specifically wanted the president to step down. And if he didn't step down, that the countries would resign. Well, what happened from that was that he didn't step down, so everyone resigned. There were discussions around creating a new unified organization with WPF and these new countries, right? But those discussions broke down because USAP stepped back from them. There have been about three different cycles of this, and each time USAP have stepped back. Now, IPF was created out of IFP. The president at the time stepped down or was ousted, whatever, and a new organization was put in place. However, the members didn't go back, and so they had to then start, you know, getting new members and things like that. So that's how we got to three. Again, because IPF was a replacement for IFP, WPF, and then the USAP creating GPF again. So the point I want to make about all of that, though, is that some of the people that were on the board of the IFP at the time that USAP asked us all to take this action are some of the people who were on GPF now. Now, if there were wrongdoings that they were asking us to step down from, and those same people are in GPF, what does that say? You know, it's not exactly distancing themselves from what was going on, right? So, you know, there are other things that need to be borne in mind. And I just don't get why USAP can't say to the people during negotiation, what is it they really want, so that the other side can actually say, well, maybe there's a way we can carve out what you need, you know, but they never actually articulate what it is that they're not getting from the unification.
Like, for example, if USA Pickleball was like, look, open to this, but we've already put in so much work, so much time, so much money invested into into the referees, into the paddle testing, into, is there a way where we could work together to where we still feel like all of this work we put in is worth something?
Exactly. Had the dialogue about it.
Yeah.
But that dialogue has not happened. And that's the problem. You can't guess what someone is trying to protect or to control. So we're making two and two and make four or six or eight or whatever. Well, tell us what it is that you're concerned about, that you're trying to carve out. Now, the other thing that I want to say, and, you know, I might lose some friends from this, Rob, but, you know, c'est la vie. By being part of GPF at the moment, for instance, they've only had they'll be their second year at the end of this year. So technically, it's 5 years of financials you need before you can apply to the IOC. So the clock restarted 2 years ago, whereas for the Unified WPF, we've already got the 5 years. Mm. So countries like Australia, who are reliant on the fact that there's only one international governing body to get their recognition in their country. So they cannot get recognized unless there's only one international federation for pickleball.
Interesting.
Right? So all the time there's two, they don't get recognized. Mm. And yet they're a member of GPF who have now made it another 3 years before the IOC piece can happen. And because there's still two organizations, it's not going to get recognized. Whereas if we can actually get this unification done.
You've got time on your side already. You've got, it's a faster path.
Yeah. And I believe Canada have got a similar situation as well. Mm. So
are you able to share, and I'm sure this is public, it's not probably a hidden thing. I don't want to look at it as like a game, the Unified versus GPF, but where does it stand in terms of adoption and traction, like for each?
So last country numbers that I heard from GPF was about 67, I believe. And the Unified WPF, when we did a review of both organizations, there's a total of 100 countries. There is some overlap in the middle. There are some countries that are members of both, and there's some countries where we've got different members. And we've developed a white paper on how to approach that. Hmm. You know, we hope that first there'll be unification in the country. If they can't do that, then we would select one. It would be based on how close they are to meeting all of the sporting governance requirements for individual countries and at the global level.
Got it. And in terms of where do you see this going if there's not unification between the new body that you guys created and GPF, like where does this lead us in 5 years, 10 years?
It's a really good question. So another thing I should say is that this unification effort for IPF and WPF, we've had the support of an individual who's got experience with the IOC, Mike Jackie. Mm. He's taken three sports to the Olympics. He's got good connections, good knowledge. He was working with the cheerleading federation when they got into the Olympics. And he's really been guiding us on the bylaws, you know, the democratic piece of it. He's also been guiding us on development of policies and procedures that are required for the Olympics, you know, WADA membership, you know, all of those sort of things. So we have been developing a roadmap on how to get to those things. We're just asking for director nominations now for an August AGM where those directors would be voted in. And my hope is that we get such a good candidate pool that it'll really strengthen this unified WPF and that we can really put some wheels in motion to accelerate things and with the connections with the IOC as well, that, you know, maybe we can move things forward. Now, I know that there was some promotion this week from GPF about them visiting Lausanne, which is a little bit ironic because we had announced a while ago that we were going to register the unified WPF in Lausanne. So it kind of feels like to me that they've gone there in order to sort of like stamp out that advantage maybe. But it's very interesting that they've not actually said anything about what they were doing in Lausanne and what they accomplished either.
Vacation.
It's smoke and mirrors in my mind. It really is.
Yeah. So this has been a common topic even before this conversation is Olympics, IOC. And there's been discussions in the US anyways that, you know, and I've talked to people that, you know, from beach volleyball, for example, where they were trying to get into the Olympics and did. And, you know, some of the pros on that side were like, well, this was really not really a net positive for any of the pros anyways, in terms of looking at that. But why do you see the Olympics, and maybe this is a as I'm starting the question, it feels like a dumb question, but maybe it is. But why do you feel like the Olympics and getting recognized by the Olympics as an Olympic sport is important for pickleball?
So you're probably talking to the wrong person about that, actually, because I said earlier, my passion is getting people off the couch mm-hmm. and playing this wonderful sport. So, you know, on a personal level, whilst I love watching the Olympics, you know, it's not important to me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say that, but anyway. But I do know it's important to lots of people who are playing pickleball. And so for that reason, you know, if we have aspirations to be in the Olympics, let's make sure that we're set up to be successful to get into the Olympics at some point. So, you know, that's why the governance is important and getting this whole issue is important, because if we don't get the groundwork in, it's a moot point anyway. We'll never get in, right? So I actually liked the idea of the Olympics being the best amateurs playing, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I heard, who's a good friend of mine, Ron Ponder, talking on a podcast, and he was saying how he won't get into the Olympics in when he can play, but that at the moment it wouldn't be sensible anyway, because most of the best players are in the USA, and so it'd be a bit lopsided. And I actually think that, well, maybe on the pro player side, but you know, if you were to talk amateurs, you know, they could still be 5-0 plus, right? Sure. But they're amateurs, then it wouldn't be so lopsided, because lots of countries have now got people who are playing an awful lot, if not doing it, you know, whilst coaching and things like that. And actually, that could be very exciting. And we just had the first European pickleball championships last November in Southampton, and oh boy, the atmosphere there, honestly, if that's just a, you know, a proportion of what you would feel in the Olympics, then just to bottle that would be wonderful, you know. So I can understand why people have got that Olympic dream, and I know that, you know, the Australians would love to see it in Brisbane next year. I was exchanging emails with Pickle Bros. They would really love to see it there in 32, you know. So who knows? If we can get ourselves sorted out, maybe.
Yeah, I like the amateur idea too, because I always say I go to Mumbai, I go to India a lot for the global events, and I always say, like, my favorite matches to watch are the amateurs playing each other, because they have like their home contingency, their friends, and the other teams or the other pair's home friends, and there's like a rivalry because it's like a rival state or rival city, and they're so into it. And so it's like such a good atmosphere. And I'm guessing that's what Southampton was like.
Yes, it was. Oh, and the, when the introductions were made, at the beginning for each country coming in with their flag and all the rest of it. Yeah. Oh, it was wonderful. It really was. And hats off to Frank Errico and team for making that happen. And, it's going to be in Italy, this year, later in September. So it'll be great to experience it again.
That's awesome. I've been to a lot of countries, I think 50 something plus, and I've never been to Italy. So
you better come to the European.
I would love to. That would be, yeah, I've been wanting to go to Italy. Where in Italy is it?
It's going to be Rome.
I mean, come on. Set up a pickleball court in the Colosseum. Let's go.
We have to get you over there to be a commentator or something like that. I'm in.
My first trip to Italy is with pickleball. It would be perfect. I'd love it. So, well, that was really interesting chat to learn more about what's happening globally, what's happening in England. Obviously, you've got the English Open coming up in Telford. Just to kind of wrap things up, would love to hear how the English Open came about and what your aspirations are for it moving forward.
So Sam Basford, who is a coach and player in England, at the time, I think he was probably about 17. It was 2018. I think we were at the Italian Open, actually. And they had put on the Italian Open. And Sam came up to me and said, I want to do a tournament, but, you know, at my age, no one's really going to respect me to go along to it. But if we were to do it together, then I think they would. And who can say no to a 17-year-old putting himself out there?
Yeah, it's brave.
And so I said, okay, let's do this. And this was before Pickleball England, actually. So we got together, started planning it. I'd been to a lot of tournaments. He had, you know, we had some ideas what we wanted to do. I started Pickleball England with Frank, and I said to Sam, you know what, it doesn't feel right to me that this would be an independent tournament. It needs to be a Pickleball England tournament. How do you feel about that? And he said, that's fine with me. So that's how it was really Sam and me, but then we made it a Pickleball England event. Our first tournament had 235 players, which was enormous.
That's a great number for a first tournament.
We had some overseas people that came over, it was a great success, but it was on a gym floor. Mm. We recognized that, you don't get the best experience there. So our next tournament was actually on a tennis court. Floor. So we put lines down, etc. Anyway, fast forward from 230 odd players. This year, we've currently got 2,218 registered, and registration hasn't closed. We've still got a few spaces in a few events, but we're going to break 2,300. I know. So, given that last year was 1,970 something, it's a nice little bit of growth. If we'd had a bigger venue, I think we could have easily have got many more than that. But the number of people who were on standby and those that didn't register because they couldn't get into the event was incredible, you know. So next year we'll go to a bigger venue just so that we can get more people in.
How do you go to a bigger venue? What is it going to be? It's going to be Wembley or what are we doing?
I tell you what, it's going to be exciting, Rob. It's going to be exciting. But I don't want to.
No hints. No nothing. Yeah. It'll unfold and it'll be awesome.
Exactly. But what is interesting is our nationals now is as big as our English Open last year. We had how many did we have? Do you know what? I'm going to get my numbers wrong now. I think we had nearly 2,000 people last year at the nationals. It's incredible. Really incredible. So, there are a lot of tournaments going on in Europe, as you know, there are around the world as well. Yeah. And so we don't take it for granted that people are going to come. So we're really, pleased that everyone still wants to come back. And I think that part of it is the vibe that is created at the Telford. You know, we put down 40 pickleball specific courts. You've got pro players coming over from the US. You've got players coming from all over the world. It's a great multicultural vibe, right?
Yeah. And I've grown to love Telford. I mean, it's just a nice venue. It's there. You've got the restaurants and shops just above it. You've got two hotels right there. Like you can walk to within two minutes. Like, as a player, I love any kind of venue where I can walk to the venue. That's that's a dream for me.
No, it's all there, just on the doorstep. So,
but Swan Song for the English Open at Telford this year, though, is that true? That's confirmed.
At Telford, yes. Okay. Yes. So it'll be a bigger venue next year. Wow. But I tell you, it'll be an even better place. So, me too.
Well, I appreciate your time so much, Karen. It's been cool to learn about your journey in Pickleball England, as well as what's happening on the global scale. And I'm right there with you. I'm hoping for a unified front. So
thank you.
Globally, right? Like within each country too, these battles are raging in every country across the world, it feels like. So
yeah, and you know, when there's so much going on globally, world politics, you do need perspective. We don't need battles. We need more unification. We need more collaboration. And you know what it is, Rob? It's egos getting in the way.
Yep.
And what we need is less egos, more passion for the sport.
Yeah, I think people are thinking about themselves a lot, 100%, and not thinking about what's best for the sport and what's best for the players and the little kids that haven't even picked up a paddle yet that will pick up a paddle.
Exactly.
Like, just, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate your time, Karen. Thanks so much for joining.
No, thank you. Thank you. All right. Take care.